Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for joining us. I'm really, really happy to be here with you today as we demystify OneDrive for Business. The good, the bad, the things that I've seen, the everything as much as I can. Now, it's funny because I've just talked about OneDrive for Business. Somebody was asking me right here. This is our office here in Montreal. And they were already asking me, so what is the difference? And what exactly does it do? And I realized that it's really everywhere, this confusion. So that is the purpose of this today. Now, of course, this is me. I'm a SharePoint MVP. I work here in Montreal, like everyone at ShareGate. You may have heard of us. It's a tool that allows to basically manage your Office 365, your OneDrive, your SharePoint, as well as migrate and move stuff around it. So essentially, this is me. This is where I am. And this is where our team is from. So without further ado, because I don't want us to dwell on this guy over here, we're going to start looking at why we're here, right? We're here, all of us, including me, don't worry about it, including me for quite some time. The problem is we're confused, right? And it's not just because I'm French. We are confused. Many, many of us, I get questions all the time, including from my colleagues, but also in conferences. So what is it? Yeah, we're all confused. We're confused, but don't worry because we are definitely not alone. You're not alone. Everyone's confused. The problem is there's two products, one OneDrive, one is OneDrive for Business. Which one's which and what do they do exactly? So don't worry, you're not alone in this confusion. Many of us are. Many of us are. So how are we going to get away from this confusion and this is, it's not new. OneDrive for Business comes, it has a history. I don't know if you've done your history with this tool here. I hope not, because I wouldn't want to do it. But it comes from a long line of confusion of what exactly are we doing with this and where is it going? So we're going to try to figure it out today together to make it, you know, get us happy again. So to be able to go see your colleagues or your boss or your customers, if you're a consultant, to be able to explain properly what exactly is this thing that's called OneDrive for Business. How is it different from OneDrive? How is it different from SharePoint as well, if it is any different? And of course, what does it do and what are the pitfalls? What should I get ready for? That is really the purpose that we have here today. So what is it? This is something we're going to be covering. What does it do? Of course, when should I use it? This is somebody has asked me a question before the webinar started and asked me, well, are you going to cover, you know, my users? We have OneDrive for Business, but people put their documents in there when they should be putting it in SharePoint. So when should we be using this so that I can tell them and so they can do it properly? We're going to be covering the good and the bad, things that are good about OneDrive for Business, but also, you know what, it's not perfect. I have put a lot of faith in this tool. I'm very excited about it. It is in the Office 365 suite, but you know what? There are some things that are not as good with it. So we're going to talk about it because I don't want just the marketing, I was going to say another word, material that we get all the time, right? We're going to talk about the limitations. And this is more of my serious face on right now. You can't see it, but it is my serious face. There are limitations. You need to know them before you choose to migrate. Otherwise, people are, honestly, they're just going to get pissed off. Your users, this is who you're working for. You're not working for Microsoft. You're not trying to get more products. You're trying to make your organization work better, make profits, be more productive. And that means serving your customers or your colleagues, whoever they are. So what are the common mistakes that we do when we implement OneDrive for Business? Migrating to OneDrive for Business, how do we get from, say, your file shares? Are there tools? Now you're going to be saying, oh God, he's working for ShareGate. He's going to sell us his migration tool. Absolutely not. I'm going to talk to you about how to use certain PowerShell scripts. I'll give you some PowerShell scripts to download to do your analysis. Woo-hoo! The French is coming again. We're going to be looking at all of these things. This is really neutral. I want you to have all of the possibilities that you can have so that you can migrate to it. So don't worry about that part. Now, before we begin, let's go back in time. I paused there because I want you to see this slide. Before we begin, I want to go back in time because so that you can understand properly what is OneDrive for Business, right? You need to understand the history. You need to understand how we got to what it is today. So we're going to go very, very far in time, and we're going to talk about Office Groove. Who remembers this? Now, if you installed Office 2007 on your computer, you had this green icon running in your taskbar in the bottom right. Now, not everyone, because it depends which version of Office 2007 you had, but it is Office Groove, right? And Office Groove was the first OneDrive for Business. Office Groove, now I couldn't find a high quality picture because back then I guess our screen sizes were a lot, not as good as today. We weren't talking about retina displays or phones that are watches. We're talking about Office Groove here. And what this was a little place. This worked also if you didn't have a account with your organization. That means this worked from home as well. And what Office Groove allowed you to do was to work in a team, right? It's important, this word is important because we're going to be talking about team sites, right? Yammer, collaboration. So this is where it all started with Office Groove. It was a place where we could share folders and files, but they would work offline. And I could work with my other teams, I could chat with them, and then I can invite them to a workspace as well so that they could come in here and we'd work on them. We could check them out, check them back in. This was Office Groove. However, it was really made for small teams, right? It's called a little workspace. It is not called for business. It's called Office Groove, and then we would create workspaces in it. So essentially what this allows us to do is to work in our teams, small teams. It allows us to work on the same documents, share them, but at the same time, and more importantly, to work offline as well. This is when the laptop started arriving and being a lot more popular at work. And then you'd bring your laptop home and you'd still want to have access to these documents and work on them, right? This came at the same time as SharePoint 2007, or MOS, Microsoft Office SharePoint Server, which was the bigger version. This was the enterprise version, really. It came with a web interface, and this was really for a team. It was before it. Then, after Office Groove came and passed, and we let it go, we said goodbye, and we said hello in SharePoint 2010 to SharePoint Workspace. Now, SharePoint Workspace, you might remember, it was a separate tool. It was a little bit bigger than Office Groove. And this is what it looks like. I had to cut already. You can see the resolution on the screen is getting better. So what we could see here is you could synchronize your entire site, the list, the libraries, the folders, the documents, and you would literally have almost every feature of SharePoint available offline. Right? So you can see who modified it, share with people, download a copy, look at the properties, look at the version history, check in, check out, mark them as read or not so that you can come back and see what's changed. It was, you know what? I actually liked this tool. It was a little bit too heavy, however. It's like, I already have SharePoint. Now on top of that, I had SharePoint Workspace, and it wouldn't do everything. That means it was great for document libraries. When it came down to look at list, it looks like it tried to do too many things at once, and we didn't have access to all our views. Certain columns didn't work properly with the sync, so it was a bit different. And then, of course, you had pages that were not available to sync. You had to go on their server, what they meant SharePoint, to go and fetch them. So if we recap, in 2007, there was this tool called Groove that allowed us to, as a team, work together online and offline, and make sure there was no conflict in our documents. In 2010, we had SharePoint Workspace, which again allowed me to sync and make these document libraries or my entire SharePoint sites available offline for me to fetch and work on, and then connect back to my SharePoint and it would synchronize. So at this point, SharePoint Workspace, unlike Groove earlier, was directly linked to SharePoint. Right? Whereas Groove was just us working on documents and sharing in documents within our Groove workspace, we didn't need SharePoint. SharePoint Workspace, however, was a synchronization tool and more for SharePoint. So we did need it at this point. So far, so good? All right. I know everybody's muted, so I can't answer, but I'm sure everybody's okay so far. And here came the beast. Yes, SkyDrive and SkyDrive Pro. So this came with SharePoint 2010, but it didn't stay very long. We won't even talk about SkyDrive and SkyDrive Pro that much because it got renamed, right? SkyDrive and SkyDrive Pro arrived in SharePoint 2013, and SkyDrive Pro was essentially the replacement of Office Groove that then turned into SharePoint Workspace that now got turned into SkyDrive Pro, right? And this was to compete with other services that started to appear on the market, like Dropbox, like Box, because people wanted to have documents available offline, but they wanted them to appear as if they were regular files and folders on their desktop. And this is the era that we've joined into. But before that, SkyDrive and SkyDrive Pro didn't stay there too long because they had a lawsuit. There was this company called Sky in the UK that provides some services in terms of telecommunications, and they argued that SkyDrive could be for them, right? Because their company is called Sky. So if they already have MySky and SkyLink, so if they had SkyDrive, it would be them and not Microsoft. So Microsoft lost that battle, and essentially they renamed it. There you go. So you started seeing this thing called OneDrive. All right, so what is OneDrive? I went on their website, and one of the pictures, which is kind of cute here, is OneDrive for everything in your life. What does that mean? Right? So OneDrive allows us to store and share our favorite photos, videos, documents, files, and more, and put it on our OneDrive. We get 15 gigs of storage for free. Okay, what exactly does this mean? And let me just see, this is what it looks like. And what is very important, and we'll cover this in just a few seconds, right now, we're talking about OneDrive. OneDrive is a public offering. It's a tool that is available for everyone. If you have a Hotmail account or what is now called Outlook.com, that's another confusion to be had right there, isn't it? but if you have a Hotmail or an Outlook account online, you automatically get this. It's kind of a personal storage place where you store your files, your videos. I have some videos, and we can go see this right now. I can go show you mine right away. I open up a browser, and I navigate to my personal OneDrive. I click on sign in, right? I put my email. So here, this is going to be my email address here. I can autofill. I'm scared of it. We're going to put, now everybody sees my email. Please don't send me tons of, I'm going to sign in. And as you can see, this is my personal OneDrive. It's a place where I, as Benjamin Nyland, with an account that is not owned by any company that I ever worked for, I store files and folders, pictures from a conference, presentations that I give, videos, travel stuff, documents, and I can look at them in different ways. I can synchronize them offline as well if you want, but this has nothing to do with SharePoint. This is a free service. It's something that I can go and get, and that's that, right? I can upload new ones, I can create folders, I can do whatever it is that I want, all right? Now, if I choose to, I can have access to other things. I can even go and get OneDrive apps for this service. And these apps essentially connect to my public account of OneDrive and allows them to sync offline. So far, I have not touched OneDrive for Business, nor have I talked about SharePoint. This has nothing to do with SharePoint. So let me get back to the slides we were looking at. We were talking about the history. There was a tool to work offline called Groove. Then it got switched and became SharePoint Workspace. Okay. And then when SharePoint 2013 came out, or a little bit before, a new public product that came out for everyone in the world called OneDrive became available. OneDrive allows me to put my files and folders and pictures and everything that I want on my personal account, and also allows me to have them available from all my different devices. It works on the Mac, Mac, it's very important because we're going to get to that later on Windows tablets, Android device, iOS, Windows phones, even on your Xbox, you can access them. Why? Because again, it is a personal thing. It has nothing to do with your work account. Now, here comes the confusion, right? Again, very important, or I'm going to have to go and get Bruce Lee's descendants come and see you. It's public OneDrive. It has nothing to do with SharePoint. So when you use the word OneDrive by itself, I'm thinking you're talking about OneDrive, which is a public thing that has nothing to do with my work, that allows me to store files and folders and things that I can then have available from wherever I am, and it's very, very useful. You know, I have lots of friends that were in university and that use their files for their work, for their papers, and store them on their OneDrive so that they could have them available if ever something happened to their computer. Great. So if we recap, what's fun about OneDrive as a public product is that it does not use your organization's login information. You log in with your Hotmail or with your Outlook.com. It allows you to do simple external sharing. That means you can share files and folders using a direct link. That means it generates a link and people can click on this link to go and get them. You can share with people outside. It also gives you versioning of documents, so you can revert a document from a previous version. It is automatically integrated to your Office suite. So if you have Word, Excel, PowerPoint, you'll see that you're able to save to your OneDrive and open from your OneDrive. Again, this is your personal account. And it also allows for co-authoring on Office documents. Multiple people that you share this with will be able to work on the document with you at the same time. All right. So far, we've never touched OneDrive for Business. So far, we're just talking about something that has not been built on SharePoint. We're not talking about SharePoint. We were talking about OneDrive. I know I repeated it often, but it's very, very important. All right. Now, OneDrive for Business. This, although it shares the name OneDrive, is something completely different. OneDrive for Business is, yeah, I know, what is it? And you're going to love the theme of my presentations now. It's actually a brand. OneDrive for Business is not one thing. It is not a tool. It is a brand. It is a name given to multiple things, right? It's a brand. Yeah, I know. It's a brand that we gave to multiple features that SharePoint offers. All right. So as of this moment, when we're talking about OneDrive for Business, it has nothing to do. You can quote me on this, you can put it on Twitter, wherever you want. OneDrive for Business has nothing to do with OneDrive, the public offering that Microsoft gives us. They have nothing in common except the name. All right. So what are these features that have been grouped together that are offered to us? Well, for those of you that have experience with SharePoint, don't worry, this session is not just for those that have experience with SharePoint, but if you do have experience with SharePoint, OneDrive for Business is also a name that we are giving now to what used to be called MySight, right? So whenever we say go to your OneDrive, oh God, here comes the confusion. For your end users, that's why you may want to look at renaming this. It's up to you. You can leave it as is, but plan a proper communication while you deploy OneDrive for Business, because now, directly in the suite bar here at the top, users are going to see something called OneDrive, and when they're going to click on it, they're going to go to their My Site. But it has nothing to do with OneDrive. It's called OneDrive for Business. Wow. What are you going to do, right? We're going to have to work with that, but that's what it is. So when you click on OneDrive, we're not going to that public thing called OneDrive that we were talking about for 10 minutes. We're going to our SharePoint 2013 My Site, which is a private site given to every user. And within this private site called OneDrive for Business, there is a special document library that we access by going to My Documents. Do you remember where you saw that before? Well, back in the day, when we were working on our desktop, the documents that we would not put on our file share, on the G drive, on the P drive, on the O drive, whatever drive you're using, the files that would not go there, we would put them in our My Documents, right? So this is the document library that is automatically there in your My site. This is also called OneDrive for Business. And OneDrive for Business, to continue the confusion, OneDrive for Business is also a tool that is installed during your Office 2013 installation. That means when you installed Word 2013 with Excel 2013, it installed a little small application that you don't see called OneDrive for Business, because it wants to link with your My site to synchronize offline, and it offers offline synchronization. Don't worry if you're still confused. I'm going to go over it. So first, you have your My site. My site is a personal site collection that every user has in your organization, and they own that site collection, or that site if you want to call it. My Documents is a document library within your site collection, within each of these users' site collection, and allows to synchronize offline using a tool that was installed during your Office installation. All right. The offline synchronization can... You know what, guys? Let's do a little bit of demo here, because I can sense... You're not even talking. I can sense the confusion already. Now, if I use my Mac to go to my SharePoint, say here, I have a SharePoint in Office 365, and I decide to go to my OneDrive for Business. Important. You'll notice that you are in OneDrive for Business whenever you see OneDrive at the name of your organization. It means OneDrive for your business. Do you get it? I think they're trying to I won't go there. But if you see OneDrive by itself, it means you are in here with OneDrive, with your files. This is what it looks like, personal space. If you go to SharePoint and you go to your OneDrive for Business, which is a My site, you'll see something, or wherever you see anywhere OneDrive at your organization, this is OneDrive for Business. This is where I am. And in there, I see my My Documents. There, I can see files and folders, and I can add. The beauty of the new SharePoint, of course, is the ability to quickly add and drag and drop, even if I'm using a Mac, drag and drop files in just a few seconds into SharePoint. What is the downside of this? I'm using a Mac, and OneDrive for Business does not work, not yet anyway. They've announced it. It will be coming when, I don't know exactly, probably beginning of 2015. But when I click on sync here, it simply will not allow me to sync. Nothing's going to happen here. I keep clicking on it. I don't know if you can hear my clicks. Nothing is happening, right? Because Mac does not have that offline synchronization tool installed when you install Office 2011. Now, if I'm in a Windows environment, which I am now, and as you can see, I have OneDrive for Business installed as part of Office. You may have never noticed it. It's asking me if I want to sync something, because I have nothing synced. I can go to my OneDrive for Business. I can tell because my organization is called Contoso, and this is my OneDrive for Contoso. So here I have some documents, the same documents I just added, and you know what? I'd really like them to have available on my computer quickly and easily without having to navigate here all the time. So I'm going to click on sync. It's going to ask me whether or not I want to click on sync here. Now, if you don't have this new OneDrive for Business installed, it'll launch your 2010 workspace if you still have that. Right now, I do have it installed. So OneDrive for Business in my taskbar is going to launch itself, and it's going to ask me to provide the credentials. Now, in this case, I may have done it already in the past. And it's going to ask me, this is the URL that you want to synchronize, which is document libraries, and where do you want to put it in your computer? Well, I'll put it under my Benjamin account. I won't have to go anywhere else. And I'm going to click on sync now. As of this moment, you'll see the icon move a little bit usually. Sometimes it goes too fast to see it. And if I click on show my files, there's the little green icon that synced to make sure everything was synced. And I can also see with the green check that the same documents, files, and folders have been synchronized. How do I see this? Well, I can see under my favorites a new section called OneDrive for Business, and it'll show me my document library, because that's what it is, with all my files and whether or not they're synchronized. Now, if I choose to not synchronize this specific file, I can not do anything. Unfortunately, sorry for the gotcha. Unfortunately, OneDrive for Business can only allow you to sync the entire document library or nothing at all. The only actions that I have from here is to go to the browser, copy the link to this document, or share it with someone. But I cannot stop synchronizing just this specific document. It'll be the entire document library. Now, let's see what just happened here. We said that there is OneDrive, a public product that Microsoft has. It has nothing to do with SharePoint. When we're using SharePoint, or Office 365, and we see OneDrive, when we click on it, we're actually going to OneDrive for Business, which we can identify here. OneDrive for Business is multiple things at the same time. OneDrive for Business is, let's go back, a My Site. So when people say, go check my OneDrive for Business, it means your My Site, which includes a document library that if you click on sync, will synchronize on your desktop or on your computer under a new section called OneDrive for Business. Because there's a tool installed on your computer as part of Office 2013 or standalone that allows you to do this synchronization. However, the synchronization of OneDrive for Business, the offline synchronization, actually works with every single document library everywhere. Right? So that's where it gets even more confusing. Let's go back into our Windows here. If I go to, let's go check out our sites. I love this new tab over here. Let's go to sales and marketing department. I'll go into a different site collection here. Bear with me, we're on Office 365 here, and this is a virtual machine within my Mac, and I have a document library here, top rated documents. It's probably just a view, but I do have documents in there that I can see. Now, this is documents from a site called Sales and Marketing. You can tell by the URL here, /contoso/department/sales-and-marketing/documents. So this is just another document library somewhere in SharePoint. It has nothing to do with my site or my OneDrive for Business. However, if I click on sync, it's going to launch when I want to sync the same OneDrive for Business tool that is installed that allows me to have document libraries that are in SharePoint offline. If I click on sync, how's everybody doing? Don't all answer at the same time, actually. And click on show my files. You'll notice that now they're saved under a different section, right? Whenever you use the sync button on a document library, what it's actually going to do is it's going to create a SharePoint section now. It's going to put the name of the site dash the name of the document library that you've synchronized and put it here. When you click on sync while you are in your private My Site collection by clicking on OneDrive here, it'll go and create a section called OneDrive for Business. I'll let you digest that for a few seconds. All right. I know it's a lot to take on because you know what? There's a lot of confusion. OneDrive for Business is three things because it is a brand. OneDrive for Business is your My Site, and it is that My Documents library that is inside of it. When you click on sync for that document library, it's going to synchronize in your computer as OneDrive for Business under your favorites. However, if you click sync on any other document library or site, wherever you are, in SharePoint, on any other SharePoint as well, if you participate to your customers or other portals, other SharePoints, you'll be able to synchronize them, but they'll appear under a different section called SharePoint, because they're not your OneDrive for business. They're not, remember that OneDrive, if we're thinking about the public OneDrive, it's like a personal space. Well, for them, OneDrive for business is your personal space in SharePoint. So if you click on synchronize while you're not in your personal space, it will want to synchronize and show it to you as a different section, as the SharePoint section. I hope I'm not confusing you too much. Yeah, that's the phase that I was doing. And you can tell I'm a fan of suits at the same time. OneDrive for Business is a SharePoint document library that every user has and owns. Owns. It is a very, very important word here. It is their personal document library, but that lives in SharePoint. On top of that, it allows them to also synchronize any document library that they have access to. This is what OneDrive for Business is. It's a personal document library that you own, but it also allows you to offline sync with every other document library in the world. All right. The benefit, now we're talking about the good here, the good of OneDrive for Business. Why do I choose OneDrive for Business? Well, if OneDrive for Business is actually a SharePoint document library, then I get all of the power of a SharePoint document library. And that is the advantage, right? Because the SharePoint document libraries also allow you to do version history, manage complex versions, have workflows for approvals, allow you to collaborate, to co-author documents, work on it at the same time. It allows you to do many, many things. Add metadata, control how people are going to view the information. There is lots of power. It's no wonder SharePoint has been one of the most popular SharePoint products for years now. And all of a sudden, we're saying you can have OneDrive for Business, and it is the power of a SharePoint document library. I'll get to the different versions of one, how you can purchase OneDrive for Business, or Office 365, and so on, very shortly. In fact, is OneDrive for Business just for Office 365? Is that something that I'm not going to have if I have my on-premises servers? I had to put this. No, it's not just for Office 365. Right? OneDrive for Business works on premises too. Why? Because it is just your SharePoint My Sites, and that has existed for a very, very long time. It's just a new brand to them, right? It is your document library that you personally own, where it is located, whether it's in Office 365 or on the SharePoint that you have on in your offices, in your server room, it is still OneDrive for Business, offering the same features. Not exactly the same features, right? There's a small difference. If you are on Office 365, you automatically, every single user, their My Site, their OneDrive for Business, I'm going to stop calling it My Site now, their OneDrive for Business is going to be 1 terabyte per person. Yes, you can do this on-premises too, on your own servers, but do you want to give 1 terabyte per person on your own disk space? It doesn't mean that you have to give this on Office 365, but it's available. Also, in Office 365, OneDrive for Business allows for external sharing, right? So let me go back to my Office 365 here, where I am. And if I go in, I go back to my OneDrive for Business, which is my personal document library or my documents, and I choose to take this folder or this document and I choose to share it. If I choose to share it, I can actually, yes, I can add people that already exist, like Alex Darrow. Is he going to show up very soon? I can add Alex, right? And I can share it with him. Perfect. Alex is going to get access to my document for him to come into my documents in my OneDrive for Business. But I can also invite people from the outside. I can say, well, I'm going to invite Jasper at sharegate.com or hotmail.com or outlook.com, right? I'm going to be able to add external people. They're going to receive an email, and in the email, there's going to be a link that's going to bring them into my OneDrive for Business and give them access to that single document. However, if you are working with your on-premises environment, well, this isn't available out of the box. And frankly, I haven't seen it set up anywhere with on-premises, though technically you could develop it as well, but it's just not there. OneDrive for Business on Office 365 does offer it. It's already compliant with industry standards. All of these ISO compliances, Microsoft has done it on their backend. So depending on your organization, making your servers compliant and security compliant might be a lot more work and money than just being on Office 365. And of course, it already works with Delve, that new product that was announced just Monday. If we go and check it out, if I click on Delve, I'll be able to see this new product. But Delve works with OneDrive for Business and Office 365 for now, and it doesn't work with your on-premises environment, right? So very, very important as well, depending on what you want to work with here. Continue. Now, before I actually continue, let's talk about the different ways that you can get OneDrive for Business for your organization. The first level of entry is buying OneDrive for Business as a standalone subscription. So that means if I go to OneDrive, slash about, I believe, and I look at the plans or I click on business, I'll see their sales marketing stuff, but I can try and buy, I can look at the plans and pricing, and there I'll see OneDrive for Business and what I get for it. Now, what I can do is I can actually get OneDrive for Business as a standalone subscription. It's been recently released a couple of months ago, and I can just buy OneDrive for Business. But what is OneDrive for Business? Can somebody help me out? Okay, everybody's muted. It's true. But I know you guys know now. OneDrive for Business, we said, is three things, right? It's the My Site, My Documents with an offline sync. So if you buy that just OneDrive for Business subscription for your organization, all that you get is one site per employee or per user that each of them have a document library for themselves that allows them to share with other people, both externally and within these other people in your organization, and allows them to synchronize offline. If you get Office 365, on the other hand, you get SharePoint Online as well, which allows you to get team sites going on. But you can also get OneDrive for Business, which in turn allows you to synchronize offline any document library within it. Now, what are the limitations of this? And I've put the article, all of the slides will be available at the end, and I've been recording this as well, so you'll be able to see it again and hear this lovely voice once more. Current limitations. The sync is by document library, not by files and not by folders. I know they're working on it. Again, I get to talk to the product team, which is awesome. They are working on it, but for now, it is a limitation that you should definitely be aware of. Now, the number of items that can be synced, we'll talk about the actual number very, very soon. In fact, let's probably open it right now. There is a certain synchronization limit. So for the OneDrive for Business document library, now you know which one that is. That's the one in your My Site. There cannot be more than 20,000 items for you to synchronize. Now, a document library can have, and that's where all the confusion lies when people are using OneDrive for Business. All right, a document library in SharePoint can have all the way up to 30 million documents. That is a lot. This is a limitation for the offline synchronization tool. You cannot sync more than 20,000 items in your personal document library. So technically, if you plan to synchronize, it means you cannot have more than 20,000 items, even though you can store 30 million documents in it, right? The problem is if you go over, once you click on sync, it just won't work. Same for every single document library that you choose to put inside Teams Sites. If you synchronize these other document libraries that live everywhere, you cannot synchronize them if they have over 5,000 items. However, a document library can store up to 30 million documents. Once again, this limit is for the synchronization and not for the number of items that can be in a document library. Now, there's also a 2 GB file size limit for now. They've removed it from the public OneDrive, that thing that is personal to you only. But on OneDrive for Business, there is still a 2 GB file size limit, which we're hoping to see disappear very soon. There's also many character limitations in files and folders. We'll talk about that in the migration piece. There's many characters that you can't be stored inside SharePoint because of what it's using in the backend. So unfortunately, you have to be wary of this when you're adding, and it's all inside that URL that I just brought you to. It's also not available on Mac when we're talking about this offline synchronization. There is no offline synchronization for Mac. So we're gonna have to be waiting for this. However, it does work for iOS devices. It works on my iPad and it works on my iPhone, but it does not work on my Mac just yet, which is usually where I'm working. So I'm definitely waiting for that big time. Files don't have a URL. So if you have a file in SharePoint, now some of you will be like, no, I know I've seen this. Benjamin, you're lying to us. I'm not lying to you guys. Let's go to our OneDrive for Business again. Actually, we were here. And let's go back to one of our sites. So I'm going to be able to go to our sales and marketing site. And what were we talking about again? Man, we're talking about, oh yes, the URL. Hey, I'm a normal human being. It happens, guys. It happens. I forget. So what's going to happen is I choose to share, right? And you see a URL here, right? But the URL, when you click on share or you want to send it to somebody, is not a URL directly to download the file or to get to the file. It comes to the web page here. It opens up the browser to go and see it, right? Of course, I forgot the advantage that on Office 365, you get to quickly access everything online, right? It's web enabled. Now, when comparing to things like Dropbox and Box, this is a huge advantage. I don't need Office installed on my computer anymore to modify these documents that are in my OneDrive for Business. But that's another story for another time. And finally, the synchronization tool, guys. I'll be very honest with you. Even though I love OneDrive for Business, I love the concept, the synchronization is still maturing. It still has some issues. It still has some bugs. Sometimes it won't synchronize all of the things properly. I've had some issues with it, and I wish I was the only one. I am not the only one. So when I'm working on my Windows or my other computers, if I'm trying to sync, it works most of the time. In fact, in some of them, I've never had any issues, but there is that potential synchronization problem. And if you do have a synchronization problem, the solution, believe it or not, is to, you can't manage your storage. It just means where it is and what is in the recycle bin. You have to click on repair. And repair means it's going to flush and re-download everything. So if you had 1 million documents synchronized from everywhere, this is going to be a big, hefty download back into your computer to repair what's been synchronized. I've had some issues with this, so I just want you to know about them before you go all out in there. There's also, if ever you want to stop synchronizing, so as you can see, I'm synchronizing this. I do not delete this here. If you want to stop synchronizing, first you have to go into your OneDrive for Business offline sync tool. Say that you want to stop synchronizing a folder. Select it, which is essentially a document library and not a folder. Another confusion. You say stop synchronizing and it'll get turned into a normal folder. The files are still there. You need to know about this as well. And now I can actually delete it. But I have to do it manually. I have to do this. All right. Let's continue. What about when should we use it, right? I should use it exactly when? Well, decisions and decisions. What you can see OneDrive for Business as, for those of you that, you know, a lot of people want to get into it, it's basically your new version of the My Documents that you have on your desktop, right? You can basically explain it that way. That's what I do when I go and train users or when I go and see organization customers. If you're telling users when to put things in OneDrive for Business and when to put them in the team site, well, what I say is whenever you have documents that you would put in your file share, that's what you put in your team sites. Whenever it's documents that you would leave on your desktop or that you would leave in your My Documents and work on them, that's what you put in your OneDrive for Business or that personal document library that you have in your My site. It's for documents that don't fit in one of your organization's team site. All right. The common mistakes, going back in time with Sideshow Bob here, the common mistakes is the 5,000 item view threshold limit that we have for documents. There is a limit that doesn't allow you to go and see if you have more than 5,000 items, but there are ways to bypass this. You can create indexed columns. Check that out. Indexed columns within your document library. You have to do this beforehand. You can also create, activate the manage metadata, the metadata navigation view, which is that filter on the left-hand side of SharePoint, which will also create automatically indexed column and bypass the 5,000 item view threshold, which has nothing to do with OneDrive for Business per se, but people often associate the two. There is a 20,000 item sync limit, but you know why this happens? Because of this one. This one bothers me a lot, and I think you can sense it in my tone of voice. A lot of people complain about OneDrive for Business and the limit of 20,000 items. You shouldn't have 20,000 items in your personal business place. If you have over 20,000 items on your desktop and your My Documents, there is a problem. So what happens is often organizations will move to OneDrive for Business and they think that their entire file shares will go into OneDrive for Business. No. Remember, what is OneDrive for Business? It's a personal document library that belongs to every single user. It's in their personal space within Office 365 or within SharePoint if you want. So if you're doing a one-to-one migration, there is definitely a problem, which leads into this other problem, which is a 20,000 item limit. I never have more than a couple of hundred, big maximum, of things in my personal space. In fact, I usually have 20 or 30. The things that I want to keep personal, but I want to share with some people in my team sometimes, but they don't fit in our team sites or in our share drive if we're still using that still, right? So very, very important, they are linked together. Common mistakes that people often confuse OneDrive for Business or DFB with the regular OneDrive, the public offering. So people say, oh, I put it in my OneDrive, and they actually put it in their OneDrive. We can't access that. So you have to train them between the two, and I would recommend doing a lot and a lot of training and communications, I should say, internal communications with the difference between the two. Microsoft doesn't do it. It's not going to do it for you, so you're going to have to take that, especially for large organizations. Putting files in OneDrive for Business instead of team sites, which, again, it's always linked to the same things, these three. Now, what about migrating from your file shares or your other SharePoints to OneDrive for Business? The first step that you're going to have to do is you're going to have to analyze your file shares. You're going to have to analyze your file shares because something very, very simple. There are things that can't go into SharePoint. They can't go into your OneDrive for Business. And then, as a second step, you can migrate to them. I put two very helpful URLs that I mentioned again in the second slides and third slides, but I invite you to check them out. There is, first, a way to analyze. And these I completely stole from an awesome article on MSDN, and I have the link in that previous slide right here. So all credit goes to this article, which I do recommend you check out because I wasn't about to just repeat everything that they're going to say. Essentially, what comes out is, you need to analyze what is the total size of the file share that data that you want to migrate. How many files are there in total? What are the largest file sizes? How deep are the folder structures nested? Is there any content that is not being used anymore? What file types are there? And why are we asking all of these questions? And why should you analyze before you start your migration? Because it's not all of the file types that are supported. It is not all of the file names, or the path, I should say. If you have too many subfolders, it's going to crash and it's going to tell you the file name is too long. If there's content that hasn't been touched since 1998, then don't bring it into this new portal. If there's too many large files, depending on, again, we have a 2 gigabyte file size limit, but by default it's 50 megabytes. So you'll have to plan accordingly. SharePoint or OneDrive for Business is really for business files. It is not meant for you to store your virtual machines, your very big, big movie files. It's meant for your office files, your PDFs, your Words, your Excels, maybe some other documents, but we need to use it in the context that it was built for. OneDrive for Business, and not just a public service that allows you to store your personal stuff everywhere. How many files are there in total? You're going to need to know that, because if you exceed that 5,000 items limit or that 20,000 items limit, you're going to have a problem as well. So how do you do this? How do you analyze? Well, there's that PowerShell script I was talking to you about. You can analyze using PowerShell. And this script scans all of your FileShare or your previous SharePoint. You can go and download it and run it. And what it's going to do is it's going to look for folders that have too many long file names, invalid characters, and all of the things that are not supported inside of the destination SharePoint or OneDrive for Business in this case. There's also a little tool called FileChecker.exe. FileChecker is the same thing. It's not meant for SharePoint or OneDrive, but it scans for invalid characters, things that generally are not supported by the Windows environment or the browser, if you like. So this is going to be helpful. Recently, I've migrated a couple of terabytes to OneDrive for Business and team sites, and we used a little tool called TreeSize. Now, TreeSize is a little tool, has nothing to do with SharePoint. It is a tool that you need to purchase. It's not very expensive, though, if I remember correctly, and it really allows you to scan your entire file share, and what we did is we gave it to power users so that they can scan file shares, and it gives detailed reports on files that that are duplicates, even though they have different file names, files that are just completely too big. It gives you graphs of where things are and what kind of files you have too much of, and it helps you kind of identify the pieces that you'll want to migrate and not. Of course, I'm going to talk about ShareGate as well quickly. No, I'm kidding. But ShareGate does also have that pre-migration analysis. So if you do get it for migration, well, you already have it as well for an analysis before you actually do the migration. So that's definitely a perk there. There are three migration methods. There are three ways for you to get those files from your file share into SharePoint. Now, these are the three ways, and don't worry, I'm not going to just sell ShareGate. There are many other third-party tools, but the first two, to be honest, unless you're a company of 10 or 15 or 20 people, you're not going to want to do this, and it's really for a simple fact. You can use the Explorer view or the drag and drop. That means you go into your file share and you manually drag and drop to the right document libraries, or you ask your users to do it. What is the problem when you use the Explorer view? This is what I just showed you earlier, where I take a bunch of files and I just drag and drop them here. So I take them and say these three screenshots here, and I just bring them here. This would be a migration scenario. The problem with this, let's look at it. If I go into the properties of this that I just uploaded or migrated, it has been both created and modified by the same person at the same time, which is just now. And that's what happens when you use anything other than third-party tools to migrate documents into SharePoint or OneDrive for Business. You lose the properties, you lose the metadata. And that's bad for retention policies, to know what's old, what hasn't been modified, and just keep the right ownership on your documents. So one way is to use the Explorer view and drag and drop. Another way is to have people synchronize their OneDrive for Business and then put files themselves in their OneDrive for Business folder. Needless to say, you can't do this in an organization that has many, many users because they're not going to do it. And then lastly, of course, tools like ShareGate and other third-party tools that allow you to migrate to your OneDrive for Business or to your content. Now, do I have some tips for you? Absolutely. When you're migrating, whether you're using third-party tools or not, okay? OneDrive for Business, remember what it is. OneDrive for Business is, let me find it. I have too many tabs open now. Let's go into our Office 365, which was here. And let's go into our OneDrive for Business. Do you remember what this is? It's a personal site. However, when you deploy Office 365 or SharePoint on-premises or OneDrive for Business subscription, by default, these personal sites don't exist. So the problem is, unless your users have already been given access to OneDrive for Business, you're not going to be able to migrate to them because they don't exist. So the trick is, there is a PowerShell script, and all of it is the link that I gave you with the PowerShell information and with the link about the step one, step two migration that'll be in the slides. There is a PowerShell provisioning script that allows you to pre-create these OneDrive for Business personal site collections with personal document libraries before your users actually go and create them. And this is going to be necessary to you, whether you're using third-party tools like ShareGate or not, to be able to migrate your documents to it because it needs to exist. I hope that clears it up a little bit. It's not going to be easy. You're going to need to do an inventory before. You're going to need to analyze and then do a piecemeal migration, which is what I recommend. We do a lot of consulting here, especially here in our region, and we've come up with a tactic that I've mentioned many times in previous webinars, and that's the RMR strategy. It's called remove, migrate, or rebuild. And we don't really rebuild, but we do identify. So what we do is we analyze, put it in an Excel file using either PowerShell, or of course we use ShareGate here internally. We put into an Excel file all of our file share that we plan to migrate. And then what we do is we put two columns, or we put columns to say, are we going to remove this or are we going to migrate this, right? So it helps us identify quickly what we plan to migrate and what we plan not to. We can proofread this with power users, the people that own the content of those file shares in the organization. And then when we're ready, we migrate the things that we want to OneDrive for Business or to SharePoint. Guys, I know how you feel. There's a lot of information so far, a lot. OneDrive is a public product. It has nothing to do with SharePoint, and other than the word OneDrive, it has nothing to do with OneDrive for Business. OneDrive for Business is the evolution that came from Office Groove in 2007, that then became SharePoint Workspace in 2010, and in 2013 took over the My Site and the personal document library that every user has, and added an offline sync feature that allows you to synchronize that document library as well as any other document library in SharePoint. Other than the word OneDrive, it has nothing to do with the public product OneDrive. I think and I hope that that's how you feel right now, like a champion. No, honestly, guys, I hope that this has been helpful and that it helped you demystify what OneDrive for Business is. Guys, again, thank you very, very much. I hope that this has been helpful. I hope that you've learned and it helped you separate SharePoint, OneDrive, and OneDrive for Business. I'm going to stick around because I'm sure there's tons and tons of questions. Otherwise, have an awesome day, and I'll see you hopefully at the next one.